praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, presented by Living Stream Ministry. These life studies explore every book in the Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Holy Spirit. These messages unveil how the Scriptures can be living and more than mere doctrine to man. Today, we bring you recorded excerpts of Witness Lee's original speaking, along with some of our own comments and thoughts. If you have questions, please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program. When we get saved, Christ gets into us. Then as we learn to walk in Him, we experience Him living in us. But still, this is not the goal. In Galatians 4:19, Paul says, "My little children, of whom I travail again in birth, until Christ is formed in you." It's not until Christ is formed in us that we enter the full blessing of the gospel. Don't miss today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. This is a crucial word for believers today, and we're happy that we have Francis Ball with us in the studio to be part of the fellowship. Francis, welcome back to our program.
Thank you very much.
Francis, today the first section of our program is going to review Galatians 4:19. Then we're going to have a marvelous review, or overview actually, of these two tremendous chapters in Galatians, chapter 3 and chapter 4. Francis, why did Witness Lee consider these chapters as being crucial to the revelation of God's eternal economy?
These two chapters bring us on and warn us against falling back into the Old Testament law. Chapters 1 and 2 really show us Christ has completed everything for our redemption, and He's come into us. But that's not the whole picture in God's eternal economy. And chapters 3 and 4 bring us to the point where we realize we need to be permeated and even saturated with Christ in His indwelling us as the Spirit. So these two chapters are very crucial and even critical to give us the revelation of God's eternal economy.
Francis, we saw as we looked really at Galatians 4:19, a marvelous progression that is given us in the whole book of Galatians, culminating particularly with this verse. Let's go to Witness Lee as we're going to review that portion once again today.
What is Christ formed in us? Look into the context of the whole book. What is Christ formed in you? This book tells us that God's intention is to have Christ root into His chosen people. Then they could become God's sons, just like God's unique Son, Christ. For us, the chosen people of God, to be sons like God's unique Son, surely we have to be saturated, permeated with Christ. Christ has to occupy our whole being. Galatians were distracted from Christ to the law. So Paul in this book repeatedly told them it is absolutely wrong to leave Christ and to go back to law. You have to come back to Christ. And this Christ today is just the good land, the blessing. He is not only the seed fulfilling the promise, but He is also the land, the blessing. That is the all-inclusive spirit of the triune God for our enjoyment, to have the full enjoyment of the life-giving spirit. In other words, you have to be saturated, permeated, fully taken over and possessed with and by this Spirit. According to the context of this book, to have Christ firm in us is just to let Christ permeate our whole being, to saturate every avenue, every corner, every part of our inner being. When Christ saturates our whole being and takes over our inner part in every way, that means He is formed in us. So you need to drop everything other than Christ. Regardless how good it is, whether that comes from God or not, regardless how scriptural it is, as long as it is not Christ, you must put everything aside and give every inch of your inner being to Christ. Let Christ saturate your mind, your emotion, your will, every inner part of your whole being. This is to have Christ firm in us. This definition surely is based upon the whole context of this book. This book's goal is to diminish everything other than Christ, to present Christ to all of us as everything. And this Christ today is the life-giving Spirit, to be the blessing of the gospel promised by God. You need to let Christ occupy you. To do this is to enjoy the blessing to the uttermost. Amen. To let Christ fill you up, Amen. Saturate you in every part of your being. This is to enjoy the blessing of the gospel in full.
Francis, we mentioned earlier, we touched seeing this progression that Galatians gives us from chapter 1, where Christ is revealed in us, then in chapter 2, where Christ is living in us, and here culminating in chapter 4, verse 19, Christ being formed in us. What does it mean that if we're not in this reality, we're not experiencing the blessing of the gospel in full?
Of course, the blessing of the gospel in full includes the Lord's work in us, not only to get into us, but to be formed in us. That means that He occupies every part of our being. And the blessing of the gospel in full is for us to allow the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit, who is really the promise of the blessing that was given to Abraham, allowing Him in this age to fill and occupy our entire being. It talks about Christ making home in our hearts, as we see in Ephesians chapter 3. And it talks about Him being formed in us here in Galatians. That means that He is occupying, He's really permeating and saturating with Himself every part of our inward being. And this is necessary for Him to have His way and to fulfill His economy. And we get the full blessing of the gospel if we give our whole being over to Him for His operating in us to form Himself in our hearts.
Let me ask you, Francis, you spent many years as a brother and a believer in Christ, not under this ministry. I think it would be fair maybe to say that the most common understanding of the blessing of the gospel is that we're saved from perdition. We're on our way to heaven. Did you ever have such a thought that there was even such a thing as this permeating that you've been speaking about?
Actually, I have to be honest, I did not have such a thought. My thought was that I got saved and I believed that He saved me eternally, and from then on I should try to be a good person and even tell others about this salvation. But I never had the thought about the inward working of His occupying every part of my inward being, like we've seen in this revelation concerning Galatians 3 and 4.
Well, Francis, we're going to go back to Witness Lee now and look in Galatians again. You mentioned Abraham in your response to my question here. We're going to look at Abraham once more and what was revealed in Paul's writing related to this full blessing as it was seen in that type of what God spoke to Abraham. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
When God, in His glory, appeared to Abraham and promised Abraham, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." There was a great background there. And the background was that all the nations were under curse. Right. Everybody, every race, every nation was under the curse. And I do believe all the people did realize that they were under the curse. including Abraham and his father. Out of a sudden, to their surprise, God of glory appeared to Abraham. And out of this God of glory, the word blessed came out. In you, all the nations shall be blessed. With that kind of background, to hear such a word, it was a great thing. At Babel, was there any blessing? Could anyone hear the word blessed? But Abraham heard. And God came to promise Abraham, in you shall all the nations be blessed. What Abraham saw was that all the nations were under the curse. He saw that. Even he himself was under the curse. But to their surprise, God of glory came and promised the cursed one, in you. Not only you will be blessed, but also in you shall all the nations be blessed. What a blessing. What a promise. No wonder Abraham was charmed. Otherwise, how in that ancient time Abraham would follow the Lord to go out of Chaldea? He was attracted. There was a glory. The God of glory appeared to Abraham. In Acts 7, it says, the God of glory appeared to Abraham, and this God of glory promised Abraham, you will be blessed. Not only so, even in you, all the nations shall be blessed. That was a great word. That was a great attraction. Then he went. He took the journey, and he arrived at Canaan. The Lord came. Look at the land. I will give you and your seed this land. These are the two main things God promised Abraham. Now, by the whole Bible, we understand what is that all the nations be blessed. That is, all the nations be blessed by Christ's redemption. And what is the good land? Well, the good land is just Christ, the very embodiment of the triune God, to be the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit for our enjoyment as the bountiful supply. That is the good land. So, the promise God gave to Abraham was an unveiling of his heart's desire. The promise, that is, the gospel God preached to Abraham was an unveiling of God's heart's desire to the human beings.
Francis, Galatians 3 reintroduces the Old Testament patriarch Abraham as the recipient of the great promise of the gospel, that all of the nations would be blessed in his seed, that he would inherit the good land of Canaan. Witness Lee identified these two items as being part and parcel with God's heart's desire. How do we see God's heart's desire in these two promises to Abraham?
I believe, Chris, we see something of the largeness of God's heart, for one thing, because here are all these nations whom no doubt Abraham realized were under God's curse. But now God is saying he wants to bless all these nations, that even his seed, Abraham's seed, would be the blessing that would come on all these nations. And to me, it was such a broadening view and to such a loving heart that could still go out to all kinds of people over the whole earth. In God's view, he could see all the nations even as they are today, and he still wanted to bless all the nations. This is something of God's economy and something that's included in the promise that he gave Abraham, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through the seed that would come through Abraham. And then as to that, the second part of that blessing was that he would inherit the good land. We find in the New Testament, the good land is really the reality of Christ himself. Christ as the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit to be experienced by us and even to be labored on, if I could say, by us. This is Christ in a fuller sense for us to enjoy. Not only that he wanted us to be blessed, but he wanted that blessing to be enlarged to such an extent that we would every day experience him by laboring on this good land which is Christ himself. And by laboring on him, we don't mean that with a pick and shovel. We mean that we're exercising our spirit to enjoy all the riches that come out of Christ and applying them to our daily life. This is what I believe is open to us about the type of the good land being promised to Abraham. And that good land is really Christ in his all-inclusiveness as the life-giving Spirit being everything to us, and have much activity in our inner being of his working to make us more like him.
These two things, in the previous section we were speaking about this phrase, Christ being formed in us. Now here it's in an outward kind of an aspect where we are laboring on Christ somewhat, it seems almost externally, as the one who is the source of all of these rich experiences. The question may come to many people, how do we get Christ formed in us? That you get the sense there of almost an embryonic person growing up within us. Really, the answer is to be fully occupied in the enjoyment of this. Christ is our good land, isn't it?
That's right. He is so rich in all that he is. In Deuteronomy, you have some verses opening up that Christ is everything as the good land to his people, and they just feast upon him. By that feasting on the riches of Christ, inwardly we are allowing Christ to grow in us and to even permeate and saturate every part of our being. In life, in nature, we become just the same as he is.
Francis, we've got a short section coming, but in it we're going to see a wonderful summarizing, encapsulating of these two very, very significant and not easy to handle chapters. This is a real treat coming for anybody who really loves the Bible. Here's Witness Lee once again.
Now, here we all have to see something. To see, number one, God's promise. Number two, grace. Number three, Christ. Number four, the Spirit. And number five, the children according to Spirit. What is the promise? The promise is just the unveiling of God's desire. When God promised Abraham, he opened up his heart and unveiled his desire. God's desire was to bless all the nations. God's desire was to give himself as a blessing to all the nations. His desire was that all the nations be blessed. Be blessed with what? Blessing. Be blessed with God himself as a blessing. So, after the promise, you have grace. Grace came. God himself in his divine Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, to be processed for our enjoyment. This is grace. And this grace is just the fulfillment of that promise. And this grace is just a fulfillment of God's heart's desire. In the whole Bible, we were never told God was happy until Christ came. Until Christ came standing in the water, beginning to fulfill the promise, God the Father was happy. Amen. This grace is just the Son of the living God, the very embodiment of the triune God. It is this living person that becomes the fulfillment of God's heart's desire. This living person who fulfills God's heart desire is the very grace. Then, don't forget, this Christ is the life-giving Spirit. If this Christ today is not the life-giving Spirit around us and within us, how could we be one with him? How could he work all the riches of the Godhead into our being? It's impossible. If he's only the second one of the Trinity, sitting on the throne, a distinct and separate person from the Father and from the Spirit, how could he live in us? How could he be formed in us. It's impossible for him to be revealed in you, to live in you, and to be formed in you. It is altogether needed that he has to be the life-giving Spirit. And he did. Hallelujah. Oh, the grace was Christ, and the very Christ is the life-giving Spirit. Dear saints, let me check with you. Do you have grace?
Amen.
Do you have Christ?
Amen.
Do you have the life-giving Spirit within you?
Amen.
Are you right now in the life-giving Spirit?
Amen.
Then I tell you, hallelujah, you are children according to the Spirit.
Amen.
Have you seen God's heart desire? Where is that? In the promise. Has the promise been fulfilled?
Yes.
By what? By grace. Who is grace?
Christ.
Christ. And who is Christ?
The life-giving
and where is the Spirit?
In us.
And where are you?
In the Spirit.
Good. Where is the Spirit? In me. And where are you?
In
the Spirit. Then now, who are you?
Children of the Holy Spirit.
Very good. I tell you, what is this? This is Galatians chapter 3 and 4.
Well, Francis, this was a tremendous, very condensed summary of Galatians 3 and 4. Altogether, he gave us 5 items. God's heart's desire as seen in the promise to Abraham, then grace, and then Christ, and then the Spirit, and finally, the children according to the Spirit. Francis, because this was such a condensed treatment, maybe you could review this sequence for us again.
Well, that's really a marvelous 3 minutes to unfold these things to us, and there is a lot to be said about it, and I would even recommend that all our listeners would get this message in writing. But still, I feel like there's something we can say regarding these 5 items because we need these kind of experiences and we need this kind of light. God's heart's desire, as you mentioned, seen in the promise, that promise shows us what is really on God's heart. Is not just to bless people, not just to choose some out of all people to be with him forever in heaven. This is not his heart's desire. His heart's desire is to gain people by coming into them and through that inward dwelling to expand himself in his life, his nature, in all that he is into the believers so that they are saturated with him. They become an expression of what Christ is. This is his heart's desire, and this is what he's after. And this is included in the promise, because the promise given to Abraham is really the gospel preached to Abraham. And that means that the gospel preached to Abraham was that God would get a people that would be full of him and express him. Then, in order for this to be realized, there's no way that people, even the chosen people of God, or any of us could accomplish God's purpose. So I would say he became grace to us. In other words, in John chapter 1, verse 17, it talks about when Christ came, grace came. Well, Christ came as grace so that he could be all of this to us. Grace really supplies us with all that God requires of us and supplies us with himself. Grace is just Christ himself enjoyed by us. Or you could say grace is the triune God, God the Father, Son, and Spirit, being brought to us for our enjoyment. That's grace. And of course, that brings us to the next point you mentioned, that's Christ. Grace came, Christ came. And when Christ came, he's the fulfillment of the promise. But not only when he came as Christ, the Son of God, to be incarnated, is he the fulfillment of God's purpose, but he even intends to be enlarged. So he went on to become, through death and resurrection, you could even say, when he came to be incarnated, he lived a human life for about 33 and a half years. He was crucified, he resurrected, and in that resurrection, he released his divine life so that he is great in capacity and in outreaching. He can come into millions of people, and they can be his reproduction. And finally, they become the children according to the Spirit. The earthly people that were recipients of the blessing were the Jews, and they became Abraham's sons, and they become children according to the law. But in the New Testament, with Christ, as grace and as the very person of Christ, and now as the Spirit, we have this promise in its fullness, and we're called the children of the Spirit. We've been born of the Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit. We're being occupied with the Spirit, who is just Christ Himself in us, to be everything to us. So we have all that we could need and all that we could desire, but our part is just to open our being up to Him. Say, Lord Jesus, grow in me. Grow in me every day. I want more of Your indwelling and expanding in me right now than I ever had before. This way we will be the children of God that express Him, that are the fulfillment of His purpose, and will fulfill His economy.
We will fully be those in whom Christ has been formed into.
Amen.
Francis, what can we say about the ministry that we're so privileged to handle every day? I just was marveling as you were, in a sense, restating what we had just heard from Witness Lee. But the light and the depth of the shining in this word is just too marvelous. These chapters are not easy. They're profound. They're deep. To see this kind of a all-inclusive picture of God's heart's desire on through the process, culminating in ourselves being really brought into sonship in the most genuine of ways. I'm just so thankful that we're able to do this each day, Francis.
I am also very thankful to have any little part in spreading this ministry. Today, so many people that are acquainted with the Bible have missed some of the deeper things that are in the Bible. And this ministry has brought these things out, not adding to the Bible or writing something different from the Bible, but really pointing out what's been in the Bible all the time that we just did not see. And it's helped us so much to see the overall picture of what God's economy is, what His purpose is, what His goal is. It is in the Bible.
It surely is. Please call us at our toll-free number, and that's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. To discover more of what Living Stream has to offer, please visit ministrybooks.org. From there, you'll be able to read over 600 titles by Witness Lee and Watchman Nee online and free of charge. Again, the website ministrybooks.org. Thanks for listening today.